This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
All right, Lombardi Line, as we welcome you in, I'm Patrick Maher live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. We're getting Michael Lombardi up, and when we do, I can tell you what's on the playlist. It's Van Morrison, because he doesn't know that I just heard him singing in a sultry tone. He was singing To Be Born Again. All right, well, anyway, as we get Michael situated, there's a couple things, because Michael was out yesterday, so there are three key points I want to hit on today. One is Ben Simmons. Now, we understand that Michael is no longer a 76er fan. Liar. And he's a Miami Heat fan. Speaking of the Miami Heat, they open up their season, Kyle Lowry in the backcourt tonight, hosting Milwaukee in the champs. Okay, remember, the Heat got swept 4-0 by Milwaukee on their way to a championship last year. Those are two. The next one starts with two, ends in Tua. We got to get to Tua, as my dude has been holding back on me. Yeah, Michael Lombardi has been pretending like, oh my goodness, I can't believe there's rumors that Stephen Ross is single white female, like obsessed with Tua, and he's going to end up in Miami. Now, the latest reports are it could go down a couple of weeks away from the trade deadline. Remember, if Deshaun Watson is tied in. If Deshaun Watson isn't traded by the trade deadline, remember, they can't get anything done, I believe, by next March when the new season opens. So that is huge. If Deshaun Watson and Stephen Ross finally unite, Michael Lombardi's had that in his back pocket, which has been annoying to me. And I've called him out on the air. I'm like, dude, you know what's happening. You have to tell me. Okay, aside from that, we open up week 7 in the NFL tonight. And if you're just joining us here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, this number's plummeting. I woke up, it was 2. Of course, remember, Denver, Cleveland, both teams 3-3 straight up, both teams 3-3 ATS, both teams coming off disappointing losses. And you take a look, this number opened 4.5. Obviously, the Baker Mayfield news had a lot to do with this, but it immediately plummeted down. A few days back, you could have got 3.5. If you are betting on Denver, you've lost it. Unless you're going to go tease and go up through 3, up through 7. If you're betting on Denver right now, you've lost the best of the number, because you see it right there. This is pretty fascinating. This number is all the way down to 1.5. I think that's actually may not be stale here, but I'm seeing a lot of ones. Circa's gone to 1. I believe MGM's gone to 1. Let's see where DraftKings is as well, as this number continues to head towards a pick 'em. Okay, so you're taking a look right now, Broncos, Browns, and what's the reason? A lot of this has to do with, I mean, straight up injuries. If you think about it, remember, Nick Chubb was already gone. They also lost Kareem Hunt in the backfield. You take a look, you continue. Odell Beckham Jr., he's going to be a game time decision. Jadeveon Clowney is going to be a game time decision. The two tackles in Conklin and Wills are going to be game time decisions, or most likely out. Okay, so we keep going as far as Mac Wilson's out. Now, the good news, if you take a step back for the Browns, is one, they have a tremendous backup in Case Keenum. You heard Michael Lombardi, when Baker was supposed to play, Michael Lombardi was like, dude, just go ahead, throw Case Keenum in. We know what he can do. At this point, the way Baker's playing, I think it might be an upgrade. Well, you're going to get Keenum. Okay, so Keenum's going to start tonight. And then also Jarvis Landry. Looks like he should be returning tonight. This is up against the Denver team that started 3-0. New York. And the schedule was dreadful. And they've gone the other way. They're 0-3. The Broncos are giving up an average of 28 points per in the last three losses. They're 0-3 ATS in those three losses. And Teddy, frankly, I'd be surprised if Teddy plays. If he plays well, he's banged up. And so these are two teams coming into this Thursday contest at a very inopportune time as far as injuries. Denver has in the series won 8 of the last 9 against Cleveland, but really everybody just points to Teddy and his record as a road dog, which is 18-2 ATS. So that's where we start here as we get Michael Lombardi situated there in Jersey. We start with the week 7 kickoff, Denver, Cleveland. And again, if you're betting Denver, you're late. You're late to the party, because now I'm seeing mostly everybody has ones. There's one book offshore that's still sitting at 2, but I also see a book offshore that's sitting at a pick 'em. Now, as far as the total, that is also plummeted. Open 44. We're all the way down to 40.5. I woke up this morning. That number was 42. So again, that number all the way down to 40.5 in 2021 is a pretty wild number as we continue to take a look. Okay, now, as we unfurl today's show, and again, the Deshaun Watson news right now is at top of mind because we just saw as Miami continues. Remember, Miami doesn't have a bye coming off that game in London, and I believe, I'll ask Michael just to corroborate, that was a Flores choice. They had a choice to take the bye. He chose not to, sitting on one win, a 10-win team from last year. But the big controversy now circling around Miami is what they're going to do as far as Deshaun Watson. Two is not the answer. Michael's been telling you that forever. Can't say anything bad. I think I just did. Anywho, two are gone. So when we get Michael up, we'll find out exactly. Again, even if Deshaun, if this doesn't happen with Deshaun Watson, this lets you know what Stephen Ross and what that organization thinks of Tua. So again, the spider effect from potentially landing Watson, if not landing Watson, what to do with the dude and Tua they took, the Miami Dolphins, over a pretty good quarterback that's playing in Los Angeles named Herbert right now. As we take a look at the board and we continue to look for those key numbers, remember 3-7, the key numbers in betting the NFL, we have seen a number jump up in Jersey, shout to Michael, Carolina at the Giants. This number open with Carolina 2, it's now painted across the board everywhere 3 as the Giants continue to struggle, obviously. And the funny thing is, I was just talking to a Giants fan yesterday. This is the least of the Giants' problems right now is the one dude that we came into the season with huge question marks, and that is Daniel Jones. Okay, we got Michael. I'll bring him in just a second. So you see right there, Panthers 2.5. Most books have it 3 now as the Giants, not Jones, but the Giants in that organization continues to spiral. I mentioned, this is, I'm excited as I bring in Michael because he didn't work yesterday, so I get him fresh. I get you with your Miami Heat. I get you by proxy with your old team in the 76ers and Ben Simmons. This audience has not heard.
Did they play yesterday? Did they play yesterday?
Take it easy. This audience has not heard your take on that. And then also, we got to get your take on Deshaun Watson and Tua. But before we do, I got to tell you, I didn't realize you were a miniature Sinatra because I heard you singing that Van Morrison into my ear when you didn't think anybody was listening. To be born again. You want to give us a rendition?
It's so good. No, I do not. No, I do not. No, I do not. It's good to be back, Patrick.
Good to see you. It's great to see you.
Nice to work it. Thank you for working out the technical difficulties. It's good to be here. I'm happy to be back. Yes. I did not work yesterday. I'm working on this book, so I spent some time in Florida talking to the great Ron Wolf, who's a historian of the NFL, the former general manager of the Green Bay Packers. Tremendous knowledge of the league. It goes way back. He shared with me a story, as I'm writing a chapter about Chuck Knoll and his influence. Chuck Knoll literally, started out at the Pittsburgh Steelers, former head coach. He started out at Benedict High School there in Cleveland. He went to Notre Dame, had a seizure on the field, and Notre Dame, Frank Leahy, wouldn't let him play at Notre Dame, so he transferred to Dayton, got drafted by the Browns, started with Paul Brown, but he essentially was in a press box calling the defenses with Al Davis calling the offenses for Sid Gilman.
Wow.
And they used to, Wolf was telling me the story yesterday of how they would, everything they did for the draft was done in the spring because the draft was held in November. And he would be on the road with Knoll in the spring and learned quite a deal from Knoll and about, players and, what he understood and how to evaluate. It was kind of really interesting. It was a great conversation about how great Chuck Knoll really was.
There are two living historians that I think, you correct me if I'm wrong, Ron Wolf and Ernie Accorsi. They're like encyclopedias. I mean, they are.
Yeah, no, they do. They know it. I mean, and they, they pride themselves on knowing the history of the game, which is important, especially in a book like mine, which is, wants to go back and look at some of these players that have kind of gotten overlooked. Otis Taylor, who was one of the great receivers in the AFL and then in the NFL. And his numbers don't justify him being in the Hall of Fame. His play does. And the problem with the Hall is we just look at numbers.
Yep. Speaking of numbers, I don't know if you're surprised by this. We're all the way down to 1 tonight in Cleveland. Again, two teams, 3-3, 3-3 ATS. coming off terrible losses, but it's all the way down to one. Does that surprise you?
Yeah. No, because, I mean, look, Cleveland's – we got a new quarterback for Cleveland. We got a new right tackle for Cleveland. Who's the running back? You know, I mean, who is going to be the main back here? You know, they signed the kid that was at Tennessee, Kelly, who was at the Chargers. Is he going to be the main runner?
Well, you
– You know, and
yeah.
So and you know, to me, if I were the Browns, and I said this on my podcast that I just did, after this game, I would seriously consider trading Beckham. If you can get something for him. Now, I know that, you know, that they'll trade him, but the problem is who wants to take on the $16 million contract that he's getting played with? So I think there's a lot of things going on within Cleveland that I think has to get worked out. Injuries and so forth, especially at the quarterback position.
Yeah, you mentioned the two tackles, Wills and, of course, Conklin banged up.
Wills is going to play. Conklin's not.
It looks like Wills, you're absolutely right, looks like he could play, but we already knew Chubb was out. Now Kareem Hunt's out for at least a month. Baker Mayfield looks like he's going to require surgery on that shoulder. It looks like he's going to play through it. But and we're going to come back here in 40 seconds here, Michael, but you said before this even happened, go ahead and start Case Keenum. At this point, yeah. You like the upside better as opposed to a banged up.
Gives you a chance. Yeah, I mean, you got let Baker have a chance to heal. I mean, if he needs surgery, I don't know how long he misses, you know, and if he gets a hit again, wow, watch out.
We got a total at 40 and a half. That's wild. As well, we see ones mostly. We got a 1.5 official number with the Browns laying it on Thursday Night Football. Michael's here. Michael Morrison is here. Van over there. Yeah. We continue. It is the Lombardi.
I'll get some Van going for you, Patrick.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's BetMGM. You know it. You love it. The king of sportsbooks, BetMGM.com. Download the BetMGM app right now. If you're in town, bring that state issued ID. You can bet within minutes. BetMGM's got a great interface, good for in-game betting. You're going to love it. 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-522-4700 if you have a gambling issue. I told you, Michael, as we say hi on a Thursday, he's Michael Lombardi, I'm Patrick Maher. I told you that the total's awfully low at 40.5 tonight, Broncos-Browns. There's a reason. I mean, winds are going to be 20 miles an hour, could possibly see some showers during the game. So as you're not going to see many. We saw 39 a little bit earlier this year. You're not going to see many 40s in a primetime matchup, but you are going to see that tonight with some inclement weather coming in here.
You know, both offenses have struggled. I mean, and, you know, last week, certainly the Browns did with Mayfield turning the ball over, getting behind 14-0. You know, the Broncos offense has struggled really since their 3-0 start. I mean, last week, Bridgewater's got a wide open receiver behind the defense and overthrows him by two steps. I mean, they just haven't been able to make the connection. This is going to be a challenge. You know, the Browns defense didn't play well last week. They didn't play well against the Chargers. They gave up almost 500 yards in 23 minutes with the football. So, you know, both defenses have not played to the level, but both offenses are struggling too, particularly Denver, which doesn't seem to be able to protect as well as they once did. Garrett Bowles isn't playing near the level that he played last year. Their offensive line has been beaten up, especially at the right tackle position. So, you know, I think it's going to be one of those games, field position, who has the wind in the fourth quarter, the middle eight, all those key components. I don't think Keenum, Patrick, is going to be much of a decline to Baker because the offense really runs through the play-action pass scheme, and those are easy throws to make unless Keenum's arm really has trouble dealing with the wind.
And I totally agree with you. And one thing can be a little misleading, and that is the final score in Denver last week. Denver got pummeled by the Raiders. There were scores in the fourth. That's misleading the way it finished up because they were absolutely getting killed that game. So these teams are coming in off terrible losses. This is desperation mode for both teams.
And you know, somebody's going home 3-4 tonight. Someone's going home 3-4, and that's a hard pill to swallow, especially if you're Denver. Because Denver, you know, and I was on their bandwagon probably wrongly. You know, I thought they were a much better team, but they have, we talk about the Browns injuries, and there's a bunch of them. But Denver, they've lost both starting inside linebackers on their defense. That hurts them. You know, their corner play hasn't been to the level that I thought that they could. Kyle Fuller got beat 2 weeks ago. You know, we see that happen all the time. He got beat. Excuse me, my phone rang. I needed to turn it off there. You know, their corners haven't played. Darby didn't play well last week. So, and I think more than anything, the defensive line of the Broncos has not done. Von Miller didn't really rush very well against Brandon Parker of the Raiders. He struggled. And they're not getting enough from their defensive front to offset what they don't have, especially at the linebacker position.
James Caan calling, Sonny Corleone calling over there. Yeah.
It's perfect.
There was one more point I wanted to make about this. So if we just take a look at the market from Case Keenum's perspective and how you would handicap a banged up Baker who hadn't been playing well to Keenum, you pretty much call that a wash right now, week 7?
Well, I would say this. I mean, there's some throws that Baker makes that you say, wow, that's really a good. But a lot of the throws Baker makes, guys are open. I mean, it's the scheme that gets them. I think this is a perfect example of a game tonight that the fans at home, the bettors at home, will be able to watch the game and say, that was a scheme throw. No, that was a talent throw. That was a scheme throw. That's a scheme throw. And you start keeping track of those scheme throws. You know, are you going to pay $40 million for a lot of scheme throws? I don't think so. Are you paying $25 million? Sure. You know, Ryan Tannehill, you know, what's he making, $33 million a year? A lot of his throws are scheme throws. You know, the fake pass over the middle. Now, he makes a few plays. He moves around, all that. But is he a $45 million? No. There's a separation between good and great. And part of that is to understand where are the offense, what is driving the production, the scheme or the talent?
And can we also say, when judging Keenum, he's not going to be coming off of Hunt and Chubb, which is probably the best tandem. Be as far as setting up that play action, it's going to be D'Ernest Johnson and Demetric Felton. So
and Vic plays a lot of cover too. So Fangio plays a lot of cover too, and he stems down late into some 8-man front. You know, going into this game with Chubb or with Hunt, that cover two program wasn't going to work. I mean, Vic was going to have to change his setup. He was going to have to align because he watched, you know, Vic has watched Brandon Staley's defense 2 weeks ago, give up almost 500 yards, control the ball 36 minutes, couldn't stop him. So Vic basically, I would say since Sunday night till tonight, he's probably watched that Charger game 15 times, just the defense of it, the Chargers defense versus the Browns offense. And he's watched it at least 15 times. How would he configure what he's doing to help what Staley was doing to give him some help? And now, without these two running backs, Vic can say to himself, well, let me play some two. Let me get in a 7-man front. And let me see if they can throw the ball against a 7-man front and still be able to run the ball. I couldn't line up in a 7-man front and be able to hold him to the run. I can watch this tape, and Staley tried to do it, and he gave up over 200 yards rushing.
Misspoke a little bit earlier when I said Bridgewater most likely what he's going to play, but he's also banged up and not playing.
They're all banged up. Yeah, he's not playing well at all. He's not, and their offensive line is not playing well. I mean, really, Garrett Bowles has played poorly. You know, they have not been able to get production from the right tackle. They signed Bobby Massey. I think he's been hurt. They're starting Calvin Anderson, a kid that they signed off the practice squad of the Jets. Can you imagine signing a guy off the Jets practice squad as an offensive lineman? Don't they need offensive linemen at the Jets? And I think more than anything is all these high draft picks that they have inside. Glasgow, the kid from Detroit. Cushenberry, the kid they drafted in the third round. And then this Reisner kid. The inside players of the Broncos offensive line have not played well. I think that's probably the most disappointing thing that you could say about their team. They haven't played well up front. They've got enough skill. I know they've lost Jerry Jeudy. I know they've lost, K.J. Hamler. But they have enough skill to make some plays. They're just not getting production from the quarterback, and he's getting hit way too much.
It's disappointing. You mentioned it. Look at the first three wins. It's the Broncos. It's the Jags.
It was
the Giants.
Sinatra Open and
New
the
York,
Jags.
New York. And they're 0-3 ATS since then, and 0-3 obviously straight
and
up.
And haven't really been in the games. They were never in the Steeler game. They weren't in the Raider game. You know, and they had the Raiders at home. I tell you, the thing I think America's going to see is this running back, Javonte Williams from North Carolina, is a really good player. I think you'll really enjoy watching him run the ball. He's a very powerful back. Melvin Gordon, too. I mean, they have two good running backs. I mean, they should be able to move the ball more effectively than they have. I don't like, you know, the scheme hasn't really been productive enough. A lot of that due to the offensive line.
And again, they lost by 10 at home to the Raiders when they outscored the Raiders junk time 14-3 in the fourth. It's a team that's in a bad way right now with the Broncos.
If they lose this the way the Raiders are playing, the way the Chiefs are struggling, but the Chiefs will get it going eventually at some point. They'll play better. you know, you're going to be on the outside looking in. And Fangio is going to lose his, if he doesn't make the playoffs, he's going to lose
out.
His job. There's no doubt.
No,
yeah.
He's gone. I'm down on the Broncos right now. I thought they'd be better.
Me too.
I really did. And
me
I
too.
Thought they'd block better.
Me too. That's the most disappointing thing. I mean, we all have injuries, right? And when you lose your starting two inside linebackers, they lost Alexander Johnson, who I thought was a really good player. He got caught up in a matchup last week trying to cover Kenyon Drake one-on-one. That wasn't going to work ever, and they lost it. But, you know, they lost Jewel, the other inside linebacker. He's on IR. You know, they've got their IR list. They've got the big tight end from Missouri on IR. They've got Judy on IR. They've got Jewel on IR. They got Bradley Chubb on IR. You know, they got K.J. Hamler on IR. That's a lot of guys that you're counting on IR.
Do you feel your life is less stressful not having to deal with Ben Simmons anymore?
You know, I feel really relieved about it. You know, I think to me, and I'm happy to see what Barkley said. I mean, at some point, you know, really, and Coach Raveling, who I work with at the Daily Coach, made a great point. Ben Simmons is walking around with an invisible T-shirt basically saying, I need help. Because anybody's behavior like this, if he thinks he's doing himself
desperate.
A favor, it's crazy. He really isn't. I mean, he needs help. Because he thinks he's LeBron. For some reason, he thinks he's LeBron. He thinks he's coveted in this whole, he's been spoiled his whole life, that he has no realistic realism of who he is as a player. Good player? Yeah, no doubt. Great player? No. You got a max contract, but you're not a great player. You don't have a jump shot. You can't make free throws. When the game's on the line, you're not going to be there. Great defensive player. Love to have you. But, you know, you got overpaid. And if you think people are looking to take on problems in a league filled with problems, I think you're wrong. And, you know, I know my man, you know, I Clutch Sports, Rich Paul. He's sitting courtside with Adele there last night. Great. Good for him. You know, but he's not doing his client any favors. He's not, because he's not being honest with his client. Like, if I was managing Ben Simmons, I'd say, Ben, shut up, go play. Show them how great you are. It's time to shut up and show them how great you are. Make them eat their words. Then we'll get anything we want in life.
Adele would say,
money spoils us.
Adele would say, Ben set fire to the rain, you know?
Yeah. Or, you know.
I know, keep thinking. And when you say he's a good defender, but when he got kicked out of practice the other day, he played good offense because he went to the strip club. He was offensive.
Yeah. Is that where he went afterwards?
Yeah, is that a fact? Yeah, he texted me.
I mean, does he think he's invisible? Did he think no one's going to see a 6'11 guy in the strip club? I mean, seriously.
The strip club?
God, some people, you can't underestimate the level of stupidity in some of these people.
Speaking of strip clubs.
You can't underestimate it.
Vinny's next.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
All right, NBA season tipped off, but there's still time to grab our NBA betting guy, which is tremendous. I mean, JBT and the crew did a great job on this. Strategies, best bets, in-depth analysis, even the Miami Heat with your boy Kyle Lowry. It's all in there. $9.99, VSiN.com/subscribe. No brainer. As we welcome you back, Michael Lombardi, I'm Patrick Maher. Vinny Maliulo, legend behind the book here at the South Point. I'm going to give you a little teaser, a little homework. We'll get to the answer in the next segment. Michael, the last time Clemson regular season was a dog. This week they go to Heinz Field in Pittsburgh, your boy Narduzzi and Pickett, and they're going to be catching 3, 3.5. Don't answer now, but let's think about this. The last time Clemson was a dog, and we'll get to that in just a little bit, but we say hi.
I think I know the answer to that.
Look at this.
He's on it.
Of course he's on it.
It has to be when they played Alabama in the national championship
game. No, regular season.
They were a dog.
But they were dogs. I said that during the break as well.
Yeah.
Vinny, hi.
Yeah. Hi, guys.
Hi, Vinny.
Good to see you.
How you doing?
What's happening?
Is there a malcontent like Simmons behind the book here at the South Point?
No.
When Jimmy Vaccaro walks into you, all roll your eyes and like, here comes drama.
No, none of that. Plus, Jimmy can defend and make free throws.
Yeah. So, he doesn't give up open bunnies in a post high leverage spot.
No. I thought Jimmy's announcement that, you know, when he was betting and so he was rooting for his bets, but then also rooting for the book, was conflicting with his rooting ability. Vinny, do you remember when he gave this talk?
Oh, I can tell you right now the main reason that I had to stop doing fantasy football. We did fantasy football back in the late 70s here. And it was, and then
not to age yourself,
not to age myself, but I'm not going to say we invented it.
Was it the first league?
They did have leather helmets.
Did you make your draft on the Titanic?
We did have leather helmets, no face mask. But the thing that's crazy is you need a running back to get in the end zone for 10 points. But we're sweating the other side for 50 dimes. It's just no. So it's it just drives you crazy.
I think what you did, Vinny, and what Jimmy did was you put the team in front of yourself, which is ultimately what all great teammates need to do, whereas Mr. Simmons has decided that he's more important to the team. I think the reality here is simply this. Ben, you're not James Harden. You're not LeBron James. You know, you're not worth this. You know, it's like we have a neighbor who has a house on the street, he wants to sell it at X. He can't get it. He's had the house up there for 6 months, right? Like, at some point, you have to lower the price.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, you have to lower your expectations of how great you think you are. And the worst thing we can do is have people that reinforce it. And that's what he's getting with Rich Paul.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, of course, the Sixers win last night. Right, without him on the road. So I think the longer it's first game, so we'll see what happens. At some point, it's got to come to a head, right? I mean, it's just a distraction for the team. It's a distraction for Ben Simmons. And so, my personal feeling is that he's going to wind up somewhere else, and it'll just be a clean slate, fresh start for him, fresh start for the Sixers and his new team.
As a non-Sixer fan, and Berman just came in to tell me that it's unfair that he's left on an island now, that he feels alone. He's a little bit like Gilligan over there. He doesn't have anybody
with
him.
Where's Wilson the ball? Give him a volleyball.
Yeah, I mean, but here's what I said to him. The only way the Sixers are going to maximize the true value for Simmons is if they throw Maxey in the deal. Like, they're going to have to throw something really good in the deal to get a better deal.
Yeah,
and I think probably. That's the fundamental. Simmons alone is never going to give them what they want. Not today, not tomorrow, not next week. They're going to have to throw somebody really good. And when Maxey gets 20 points, 7 assists, or whatever his stat line last night, that's the guy to go along with Simmons is going to be the one people want. And that'll maximize their deal. They shouldn't do that, but that's what maximizes their deal.
Jrue Holiday going to play tonight down in Miami? That's the question. As Miami opens up their season, Milwaukee off the win opening night 2 nights ago against the Nets. They traveled down to your Miami Heat, Michael. But remember, Jrue Holiday, the point guard in the second half, got banged up. So the big question, will he play? And then, as Michael knows, because he had a hand in landing Kyle Lowry with the Heat, debut for Kyle and the backcourt, which is going to be huge for them. Where are you at on that number?
Right now, one. We opened the Bucks 2, so the thought is that he's probably not, right? So,
okay.
There you go.
By the way, Michael, I know this
I'm liking it. I like our lineup. I mean, I don't know why P.J. Tucker's in the starting lineup, but I do like it. You know, I mean, I like Lowry. We got Duncan. Jimmy's back to playing small forward, but he'll play some point, I think. I think it's a good team. We'll see.
Look me in the Skype eye and tell me, do you feel like a fraud saying R when talking about the Miami Heat?
Oh, I like the Heat.
Look me in the Skype eye.
Look me in the Skype eye, bro. This won't surprise you. When Vinny walked in, he was playing this sob story. He basically had a violin out. And I said, what's the problem? He said, well, everybody's cashing. You've seen the favorites have hit the last 2 weeks.
Geez, if I close my eyes, it sounds just like me. First of all, that's not what I said, number one. First of all, there was no violin. It was a mandolin, but simply because of mood, as you know.
Right,
from,
of course.
You know, Michael, in honor of Michael and myself.
Good to see you both wearing jackets today.
So, what do you have on? What is that?
It's a jacket with a hood, bruh. It's cold in Vegas.
Wait a second. That hood is not attached to that jacket.
What are you talking about?
I got it
from Target.
It is. It's attached.
Anywho, back to you crying,
wow,
Argentina.
That's okay. Wow. That's
Batman's
a beauty.
Cape there.
I thought. Yeah, I know. I want to go out.
Somehow the attention's on me when I'm actually following protocol. You guys are over here looking like you're going to the beach.
Okay, Skipper. No, now listen.
I got a nice long sleeve shirt.
I know. You look dapper. I thought it was a Mad Men.
But you got that cape on, and where's your pants?
Are you trying to deflect?
No, I'm not deflecting. What I said when I walked in was, are you still cashing? out as you do in football.
That's what you said, yes.
And you said, no, I'm cashing on Israeli soccer.
Which I did. Tel Aviv,
okay,
Tel Aviv today,
so I
over
said,
two and a half even.
I said, how's football treating you? And you said, I know all the favorites are not doing so not so. I'm not doing so good. I said, oh, you're the guy.
Yes, that's what you said.
Okay.
And you said,
that's crying. I said,
you said we're
cashed.
Still paying off tickets.
Yeah. Okay.
Vinny,
not crying.
Let's
it's
circle
just a reality.
Back. Vinny, what did you open this game tonight? Were you at 4.5 to open?
No, 4. Opened.
You were at 4. And now you're at where?
1.5. And yeah,
and
went
half.
To 1.5 last evening, early this morning.
Oh, are you getting any resistance on the 1.5? I mean, the money line,
I think we're closer to one.
So you know the Brownies are a quarter right now, minus a quarter plus a nickel. So I mean, if you like the Broncos, you'd like them to win the game at this point. So you probably instead of laying,
you're better off taking the money line. At
you better
off
taking plus
105
than laying 110. So
yeah, you already lost the value on the Broncos.
So. But no, it's going to be, so part of it was money, but part of it was the adjustment too, without Baker Mayfield. But
yeah.
It's not like the Broncos don't have their injury issues, either. And I think, there'll be some Browns money at some point. We're just trying to find what that threshold's going to be.
What was the adjustment what was the adjustment from Keenum? Obviously, Baker to Keenum.
You know, there's a some folks seem to think it's about 4 points. I don't think it is, actually.
No.
You can't make that big an adjustment given the other injuries that are there, because you have to take that into consideration as well. So we opened at 4, adjusted to 3 when he was questionable, and then money came in, so right to 2. And now they took the 2, and it's at 1.5.
And I think to me at 3, if he would have been healthy, anything above the 3, I think Denver would have still gotten it. Because, I mean, let's be honest, this offense runs through the running backs.
Yeah.
And without Hunt and without Chubb, to me, if someone's given 4 to Baker, it's including Chubb and Hunt in that 4. If you take away Chubb and Hunt, I think then Baker comes down to about a two point difference. And really, as a general manager of an NFL team or as a bettor, I think you've got to spend a lot of time each week on making sure you have the right number for that quarterback. Because and really, the other thing is these coordinators. Like, I think Vic, first of all, we're getting Fangio has this tape that he has watched from the Chargers. He's got a full game that he's seen the Browns at their absolute best, the way they attack Staley. That tape is going to be very important to this game tonight.
I think one of the things that's going to take place, too, is I think you'll see people watching to see how Bridgewater warms up, too.
And he's banged up.
Yeah, he's banged up. But if he's going to go, I think you'll still see some Bronco money. You may see this game go off at Pick'em. I mean, we know that Mayfield, because it's the offensive line as well. To Michael's point, you have the running back situation, but it's the offensive line. Whose defense is better and healthier right now? Probably the Broncos, right? I mean, when you think about it.
And the Browns just activated Jarvis Landry, which I think helps them a little bit.
Yeah.
Gives them, and I think this really, because Beckham's not going to play naturally.
Mm-hmm. It's not often in a primetime standalone in 2021 we're going to see a total of 40.
No, and this total opened 43, and, it was 41 earlier too. So betting this is like 1980s.
It's a 2000 Ravens defense all of a sudden.
I think that under's too low. I think it's too low.
All right,
you might see these teams just decide to go wide open tonight. So you may see some points.
We will answer the question. Last time Clemson was a dog in the regular season, coming back here on the Lombardi Line with Vinny.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's the Broncos and the Browns tonight, B&B, and you can win. B&B, Berman, $10, $200. Tonight, either team scores a touchdown. It's a low total, but trust me, a touchdown will be scored. So if you're a new customer over at BetMGM, use the bonus code VSIN200, VSIN200. You're going to get $200 paid for in free bets right there in your account. Check it out. Must be 21 years or older. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue, as we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi, I'm Patrick Maher. He is Vinny Magliulo from behind the book here at the South Point. Would you like to pay off your tees? this weekend at Heinz Field, which is such a disaster. Michael, how about the Pittsburgh? That's a storied program in college football. Playing their games at Heinz Field is a joke. You know,
they have such a nice little I remember going and seeing a Penn State game there on campus. They have an old state that used to be, I think it was kind of, Vinny might know this, it was near the old baseball field. And
Forbes Field,
I don't know if the stadium,
Forbes Field or Three Rivers.
It was they had a Forbes Field. They had like an old the University of Pittsburgh on their campus. They had a football field. It was beautiful. I think the Steelers played games there at one time.
Yeah, I'm sure Jimmy and Chrissy will remember that.
Now they go to Heinz, which is not on campus. You said they're having trouble drawing. Yeah. Who wants to drive to a it's antiseptic as opposed to being on campus, Michael.
Yeah, I was there for a few years ago. I was there for the Notre Dame Pitt game. I don't know why. I was covering a Pitt game on Sunday, and I went to it on Saturday. And so I was with a couple of the CBS guys, and we went to the game to watch Notre Dame. I saw it full for that, but that was mostly all Notre Dame fans.
Do you want to pay off your tees? So
yeah,
we said so. Clemson is a 3.5 point dog at Pitt. So the last time regular season Clemson was a dog.
2016.
4 years ago.
Wow. Louisville. Against Louisville, and they had a quarterback who's
Lamar.
Doing pretty good Lamar. Right now on Sundays.
So they're retiring his jersey.
And where was that game? Was that game in Louisville?
That game had to be. Yeah, that was game. They were dogs at Louisville. By the way, Clemson won that game.
Bobby Petrino.
42-36. Yeah. They won that game.
Yeah. And they should have beat them the next year in Clemson. Mm-hmm. He throws an out over to the left sideline. They didn't have the fourth down. They didn't have the college doesn't have the chains on both sides. And the kid didn't realize where he needed to go for the first down. Thought he got it and didn't. They lost the game there.
Interesting. Some places opened this game. Chrissy opened 3.5, which kind of get ahead of it, anticipating that there would be money on Pitt in this game, and I think he's right. Clemson just not looked good.
Clemson
they're just
can't
not
move
scoring
the football.
Points.
They cannot move the football.
And this Pitt team is good. I no disrespect to Western
Michigan.
They shocked
me, Vinny. They killed Virginia Tech last week. They were all from the start. They were all over Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I don't know how they lost that Western Michigan. I mean, they scored 41 points in that game, and they lost that game. But I don't know if it was a look ahead or what, because that does happen more in college than in the pros. But needless to say, Pitt's a good team. They're a solid team, and that was the last time that Clemson was a dog.
It's not what you think of when you think of Pitt, because Pickett's been there forever. First off, so he's going to be a pro, the quarterback. But Michael, the offense is wide open. They spread you out. They go. It's not what you think of when you think of Narduzzi, defensive guy, and Pitt. They have a wide open, very modern offense. So there it is, 3.5.
Yeah, good game. Could be a fun game to watch.
I think it will be. I mean, look, Pitt, what they average in 48 points a game. Nationally, they rank second in the nation in scoring.
Yeah, they can light it up.
Well, of course, it helps. They scored 77 against New Hampshire. They scored 51 against UMass. But they put 41 on Tennessee. So, and they're not bad on defense. I mean, they're 34th in the nation on defense. Now, this will be the huge test, and we'll see. Because Clemson's still, for all they've done, Clemson's still really good on defense. I mean,
really
Clemson's
good.
The best defense in the ACC. They're the second best defense overall. They only give up 12.5 points a game. I mean, they held Georgia to 10 points. This, what do you have the under over here, Vinny?
This one, 48.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The under might be in play here.
If you're Pittsburgh, how are you going to go to New Hampshire and beat up on those hippies like that? You just got to you got to take it easy on the. I mean, it's a beautiful part of the country, but it's just. I mean, those are straight up Applebaum hippies. You made money big time, and I haven't asked you this, but I'm guessing the Braves winning outright yesterday and pummeling a 2-1 favorite, 2.25 maybe even last night with Urias and the Dodgers. You must have made some cash there.
Yeah, there was definitely. Actually, they bet both favorites yesterday, but not as much on the on Boston. But they did bet the Dodgers strong yesterday because they bet the Dodgers in the
Pardon
last
me,
couple of games,
close.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah. So 240 on the close, but because the Dodgers they couldn't they weren't gonna go down. 3-1, it's not impossible, right? I mean, they bet them in game three because they weren't going to be able, lose three in a row. And they bet them again yesterday. The Braves, boy, This Braves team is, it's interesting. The Braves and the Astros, I see a lot less analytics. They just play baseball. And again, I'm not anti-analytics, but I don't think, I think some teams are overdoing it, and I think it's effective. The Dodgers are a classic example. So,
and Mr. Baseball, your Astros looked dead and gone and buried, and here they come, and they're going to win this series, I think. The Astros.
Well, you know, I mean, look, they you got to give them, I mean, they're able to kind of fight their way through. They've been here before. I think it says a lot about that, right?
Yeah.
You know, when you've been here before and you're able to kind of, you know, have belief in that you're going to make the plays that you need to make. I think they have mental. One thing you say about the Astros now, they've been kicked and beaten and they've been called all name, but they have mental toughness as a team.
Yeah.
There's no denying that.
Yeah. And Chris Sale ain't Chris Sale. This is not the same when he was starting yesterday. That went off essentially. I think the Red Sox were $1.17 favorite,
yeah.
And that's Chris Sale by name, not by actually what we're looking at now.
Yeah, that game went back and forth a little bit, but there was some late money on the. Actually, that game got as high as a quarter, so there was some money came in on.
I didn't
on
realize the Dodgers got all the way up to 240.
240 yesterday.
Mm-hmm. But this is where they were last year against the Braves. They came back down 3-1.
They did. They were down to them. But I think this Braves team has learned from that. And again, I think the Braves are just they're getting much better results out of their bullpen.
It reminds me, Michael.
You know, I thought that the Braves being down 5-2 the other night and blowing that lead and losing that game 6-5, you almost, and then the next game they basically start a bullpen full of pitchers, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think, okay, this is not good, and they come back and win that game. That
impressive.
To me showed that, yeah, that was kind of impressive to me.
They're doing it without Acuna Jr., their best player, and they also did it with Drew Smyly. And you mentioned that tomahawk three-run, that bomb by Bellinger, when that team looked dead the other night.
Yeah.
I thought, and I think the bettors thought, it would carry over, and it just didn't. The Braves have some resolve. You know what always cracks me up, and then we'll get back to the football. Michael, when he just said analytics, David Cawley, your boy down in Houston, you know what he calls him?
Yeah.
Analytics. So I know he's old school, but he's like, yeah, I don't know if I really go with analytics all the time. Anyway, what do the analytics say here as far as the total? 40. I see a 40 now popping up. You still have it 40.5.
Yeah.
It's going to be windy. Could potentially rain tonight in Cleveland. Then.
Yeah, I think at some point somebody's going to bet you. The public will still bet the over, right? Because they want to parlay, you know, Broncos to the over. You know. There's going to be teasers too, Patrick, on the Broncos too. By the way, if you're going to tease this game, I mean, yes, it's different
now. Do it now.
Well, don't wait much longer, because, and then you do 6 because now you're going through 7. But you know, originally you could have got 10 if you know with the 7-point teaser. But anyway, I think there'll be Bronco teasers too. And as we get into the afternoon, if you know, your reports come out, Bridgewater's warming up, he looks okay. There's still going to be money coming in. We're going to need the Browns tonight.
You're going to need the Browns,
probably. Yeah.
You, Michael, feel like 40, we're starting to get a little too extreme there as far as we're getting too low.
I mean, you're saying this is a 17-14 game win. I mean, two quarterbacks. I mean, Teddy doesn't have a gun. Neither does Keenum. But there's enough. I mean, I think both defenses haven't played to the great level the last 2 weeks. And, you know, I think that they should be able to move the ball. This is Pat Shurmur's homecoming back into Cleveland, was the one-time head coach. I mean, you got to push all your chips into the middle of the table if you're Denver. You can't be 3-4 with all still having to play the Chargers, still having to play the Chiefs. This is a must win if there is a must win in week 7 for Denver. You know, it's a little bit like that Seattle New Orleans game on Sunday night or Monday night. I mean, Seattle can't lose that game. They got to figure this out, you know. I think there's certain points of the season that you got to look away from your handicapping numbers, and there's an eccentric value placed on, you know, this is our season right here. We need to win this one.
May I ask you a fun game late night before you go? The Clippers at the Warriors. The Warriors went down to Los Angeles, beat the Lakers to open the season. Here comes the Clippers.
Warriors, 3.5, up to 4. Betting the Warriors tonight.
3.5. So betting, they're up to 4.
Up to 4.
So they're getting bet.
Good time for the game, too. 7:05 would be nice. Got a nice.
Well, for Michael, that's like today. Basically midnight.
Yeah, but Michael will find.
Thank you, Patrick. Yes, it is.
I hate East Coast. Like, I'm just like you. I go to bed early.
It's horrible.
These games start at 10. There's no chance. No chance.
Yeah.
You got to get to YouTube in the morning. Vinny, thank you.
Good to be with you guys.
Vinny on
Always
Twitter.
Good to have
Always
you, Vinny.
Great to have
See
Vinny
you guys.
As we continue. When we come back, Deshaun to Miami. Michael's known about it. We'll talk about it.